Well, praise the Lord. He is a good God. Amen. We could be in a lot of different places without him, couldn't we? I actually thought I would like to be on the space station today. But he has brought me here with you. And this is a better place, actually. I found out that they actually do have to drink their own urine up there, so. They put it in their coffee. Ugh. That would be a strong cup of coffee, right? Anyway, God has brought us here amongst the brethren and the sisterin. He has brought us here with each other to worship the Lord and to encourage one another. Is that right? Your smile encourages me. Your worship encourages me. I was thinking today even about our worship, and I know what prophetic prayer is, but there's prophetic worship too. You go before the Lord, and you're having a conversation with him, and he's answering you. That's prophetic. The Spirit of the Lord is the spirit of prophecy in Revelations, it says. So it's no surprise. But today I want to look at the early church, and I hope you see that we have a ways to go before we get back there. And when God pours out his Spirit, we end up right at the very beginning. So I'm going to go to Acts chapter 3, if you want to turn there with me. I was on Acts chapter 1 and 2 before, so it has continuity. But there was the first thing that happened after the Spirit fell down upon the church and the day of Pentecost was that the ministry of the church began. So what happened? The first miracle happened, and that's in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. So they weren't in a home group at that time, but they were at the temple, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, that's important to know that he was lame, wasn't able to move around, and he was that way since he was born. He was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, the Beautiful Gate. So every day they bring this guy, their son, to the temple to ask for alms from those who entered the temple. So he was begging. So everybody got to see him every day, not just on Saturdays, not just in Shabbat. It was every day. He was there begging. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. So, do you have something for me? And fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter said, look at us. So now he's got their attention and they're going to communicate something. And he's expecting that they're going to give him some money. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, something he did not expect him to say, nor anyone else, maybe not even Peter, although I suspect that he knew exactly what was going on. Silver and gold, I don't have. But what I do have, I'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So there was a declaration, first of all, a declaration of faith. I don't have silver and gold. Even if he had, he wouldn't give it to him. But what I have, I'll give to you. And he did something that we should follow his instructions and type today. In the name of Jesus. Oftentimes I hear prayers in the name of the Holy One of the Father. In the name of the Father, that's all good. The name of whatever, but they never want to say the word Jesus. There's a reason for that, because there's power in the name of Jesus. Now, it's not just Pentecostal doctrine. this is the beginning of what it's talking about in these scriptures. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, lest you become confused, rise up and walk. Now what? So he made a declaration, instruction. But he did something as well. Now, let me stop here and say, do you think that the lame man had any faith? No. It wasn't like, you know, someone who was brought before Jesus and he said, oh, your faith has healed you or something like that. There was no faith there at the beautiful gate that day, except for Peter and John. And there is no faith some places where you go in the darkness of this world. There's no faith there except in you. Right? You've been there? So I look around sometimes at a cocktail party with all the doctors around and or a dinner dance or wherever they go. I'm looking around for some faith. Now, there might be some faith, you know, people that are saved there, but I didn't know any personally. And I said, I guess I'm the only one. Sometimes the Lord gives me something to say, sometimes not. But I love it when he does. Is that right? Now, Cheryl and I heard something on Weather Channel this morning that I have never, ever heard before on the Weather Channel. The forecaster says it's going to be a rough week for people, especially in the midsection of this country. So if you're going to your Bible study, you know, we just about fell off our chairs. Are they allowed to say that on Fox News or Fox Weather? I guess so. Somebody had the faith to say it. So if you go on your Bible study, just watch the Weather Channel. But anyway, Jesus reached down and he says, rise up and walk. So he spoke a word of faith. Not only did he speak a word of faith, he did something about it. And he took him by his right hand, I guess he was reaching with his right, to his right, and he lifted him up. So it was Peter who lifted him up. He didn't lift himself up. Peter began the work of faith in his body to him. There's sometimes we can't just sit back and wait for God to move. We know what he wants to do. Sometime after church, you may know somebody who needs prayer. You go to him and you pray. You put your hands on him or her. It doesn't say now they came together and laid hands off of them. They laid his hand on them. There was touch. Well, Peter did exactly that. Took him the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Not possible medically, right? This guy, not only were his feet and hands weak, but he didn't even know how to walk because he was that way since birth. He didn't know how to sit up because he was that way since birth. Everybody in the temple knew that. Nobody was missing this one. And that's why the Lord picked this guy out from his mother's womb. Can you imagine him before the gates of heaven and saying, why'd you do this to me? Because I wanted you to be the example of the power that's in the Holy Spirit. I wanted you to be the example of the power of Jesus' name in the church. Example of the faith of those who go out and who I send out. Remember when he sent out the 70, he said, Lord, this is really unbelievable. Even the demons were subject. And it was just unbelievable what we could do in your name. So whose faith was it? It was Peter and John's faith in the Holy Spirit. So he, that is the lame man, leaped up. So at that point, his legs and arms were strong, and by some miracle, he knew how to use them. And he didn't just slowly get up, like sometimes we see in healing services. He leaped up, stood up, and walked and entered the temple with them. Where did he go? Home? No. He went to the temple with those who just healed him. He went with them. And how did he do it? Walking and leaping and praising God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that happening here? Even when we've had some really nice healing services, I've never seen that happen. We have a ways to go. We have arrived. No, we got a ways to go. For we have that kind of faith. But that is the kind of faith God wants in our heart. I'm telling you, that is the faith he wants in us. He doesn't want it watered down. When walking and leaping and praising God. So it wasn't just that he was healed. He was now praising God. His heart was turned in another direction, not towards his bed, not towards his mom and dad, not toward those who were giving him alms, but towards the Lord. So healing came in all forms to him, body, soul, and spirit. Do you believe it? I think when Peter reached down, he knew exactly what was going to happen. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what just had happened to him. I would say they were probably filled with some faith as well. It doesn't say that, but I'm sure that there were some people of faith there. Verse 11. They began to preach. Now, it was the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. So he didn't want to let go. Would you? Where are you going? Mom and Dad would say, I'm going with these guys. See you later. And here's the real killer. All the people ran together. So he's no longer walking and leaping. He's running. So he must have had some coaching. No, it was the Holy Spirit. Does things miraculously, things we could not possibly understand. He didn't need, I'm going to cross the line here, he didn't need an MRI. He didn't need a new drug. He didn't need a new food source. He received a miracle from heaven. So do we all. They ran together to the porch, which is called Solomon's porch. They were greatly amazed. Why? Because he was running. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? My response to that is, huh? Are you kidding? Of course they would. But Peter has that such a focus at that point in his heart that he could not let go of that focus. He wasn't even allowed to let go of that focus. It was intent on the mercy and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ being manifested in the midst of the people, whether it was through him or John, it didn't matter to him. He says, why do you look so intently at us? They're like, I could see them wide-eyed saying, whoa. As though by our own power or godliness, we had made this man walk. Why are you looking at us? And God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of your fathers, glorified his servant, Jesus. Again, he doesn't neglect saying who it was the Son of Man or the Son of God or it was just his servant. It was his servant, Jesus, whom you delivered up. And I can see him. Who you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined, that is, Pilate was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. So he's looking out on all these people, and some of them probably were there. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, by the way. God raised from the dead. You may have killed him, but God did something else, of which we are witnesses. We, us, today are witnesses, not in our own fleshly eyes, but in the Spirit we are witnesses to him. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him was given him, his perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Do you like that? He didn't just heal his legs and his arm. It gave him perfect soundness, wholeness, complete human being. Was no longer lame in any way, shape, or form. That's really awesome. I prayed over a lot of people in the hospital, quadriplegics, paraplegics, and a few of them stood up after a few months. You know, if you go in and you've had paralysis, from a motorcycle accident or whatever, if you can wiggle your toes, chances are good you're going to get better over time. But I don't know. We never treated anybody who was born paralyzed from his mother's womb. Verse 17, yet now, brethren, I know that you did this not so you could despise the Father in heaven, not that you somehow knew what you were doing, but you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers, those that were over you. They didn't know better. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of the prophets, now listen to this. So God foretold this. It was going to happen. That Christ would suffer. He has thus fulfilled his promise. That's predestination at its root. That is, God knew it was going to happen. God wanted it to happen. Jesus said, I don't really want this to happen. If there's some other way, please, Father, take it away from me. But Father said, there is no other way, my dear son. You're going to feel the pain. You're going to feel those who betray you and the wound of your heart. But you're going to see at that time something that no one else has seen, only in a shadow, and that is the body of Christ come to life as you pour out the Holy Spirit upon the church. Peter says, verse 19, repent therefore and be converted. What's the answer to all this Christianity stuff? What do I have to do? You need to repent and be converted. Repent for all the things you have done, for that desire in your heart that wants to go in the wrong direction, and be converted, turn around, that your sins may be blotted out, and the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. The time of refreshing for you isn't in your medication. The time of refreshing for you isn't the best, perfect dinner. The time of refreshing is from the presence of the Lord himself. Is that right? That's why you're here. Maybe you didn't know why you came here this morning, but that's why you're here. A time of refreshing, the presence of the Lord. Why do we need refreshing? Because we leak. It seems like every time we go before the Lord, we're just so full of the presence of God. We love it. And by the time we get home, sometimes, at least in the old days, even on the way home, it's gone. I had the best arguments with my wife on the way home from church. The Lord would say, where are you going? Why don't you stop the car? Come back under the presence of the Lord. Verse 20, that he may send you Jesus Christ. Doesn't avoid the name. Who has preached to you before. They already knew the name. Who heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. So Jesus had to go back into heaven, be resurrected, go back into heaven so that there could be a day of restoration for all things. That hasn't happened yet. That will happen when Jesus comes again. Which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. This is the second coming. Shouldn't be a surprise to anyone in the Old Testament. For Moses truly said to his fathers, Lord, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from before your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul whom will not hear the prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. That's going to be at the second coming. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as who have spoken have also foretold these days, verse 25, you are the sons of the prophets. Now he's talking directly to them. You are the sons of these guys, these prophets. And the covenant which God made with our fathers, that's you, saying to Abraham and to your seed, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, by the way, God has raised up his servant Jesus. Send him to bless you first, and turning away every one of you from your iniquities. So our biggest problem is that we do our own understanding, and we are led by our own understanding. God wants to deliver us from that and go by his way. A whole new different thing is going to happen. Now, when you preach stuff like this in the temple, the Old Testament temple, you know you're probably going to get in trouble. Sometimes I just don't think Peter understood that, or maybe he chose not to think of it, whatever. But you don't say things like this in a place where your enemies are. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, came up to them. Oh, these are the big guys. Whenever you see the captain of the temple, I wonder if he had like little badges and things that he wore. Probably. Maybe it was a special scarf. The captain of the temple. Get him. The priest, the Sadducees, they all were there, being greatly disturbed that they, that is Peter and John, taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead, which they already did. But they were doing it in Jesus' name. They laid hands on them, that is, they grabbed them, put them in custody in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. Now, many of those who had heard the word believed. So they were now believers in the church. They weren't just apostles and those Jesus sent out in his close entourage. They were believers who didn't see all of the miracles, perhaps, but they heard the word as we hear the word. It's no different. They heard this word. What a privilege we have to hear the word of God. When Rick got up and was speaking Psalm 150, what a privilege it is to hear the word of God. However, many of those who heard believed, and the number of men came from to what? 5,000. Now, addressing the Sanhedrin, why would he do that? Verse 5, and it came to pass on the next day, the rulers, the elders, and the scribes, as well as Ananias and the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and as many as there were in the family of the high priest, they gathered together at Jerusalem, and they set them, that is, John and Peter, in the midst. And they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Where did they get that from? They heard it. Said it was not missable. They can't somehow say, well, they didn't really preach in Jesus' name. They did. Well, you really should know this. It's not probably a good thing to speak directly to an apostle of the Lord and get away with it and think you're not going to be changed. Because it says in verse 8, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not good to speak to anyone who is filled with the Spirit, contrary to the Spirit, because he's going to correct you. Rulers of the people, elders of Israel, who was he addressing? Them. Rulers of the, he wasn't speaking to the people now. He's talking to those in charge, quote unquote, who aren't really in charge. If we this day are judged for a good deed done to this helpless man, he still was there. This guy is still tagging along. By what means he has been made well, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, now he's not just talking to people, he's talking to the leaders, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole, complete. This is the stone, this idea, this person, Jesus, which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief, now has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other. Because that means that you can't be saved by any other way. Oh, I can come to the Father some other way. No. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's why I baptize, when I baptize in water, I baptize in Jesus' name. I'll start by saying, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name I baptize you, or I baptize you in Jesus' name. I don't leave it out. I want people to know who they're annealing themselves with, whom they're espousing to be their God, their Savior, whom they're now going to live the resurrection life in, is not something that's just born out of water. It's born out of the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, okay. Now, if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, we'll make arrangements. Now, when they had heard the boldness of Peter and John, notice that although you may be meek and mild, Clark Kent or Casper Meltos kind of a personality, it matters not. When you're filled with the Spirit, a boldness in the Lord comes upon you. Even if you speak quietly, that boldness still can be there. And perceive that these were uneducated and trained men, and they marveled. That means that their perception was, by their accent, because they were Galilean, just like if we met somebody from West Virginia, they would have a different accent. And there were days when I heard a southern accent, I would say, they're uneducated. So I would say the same thing. I don't anymore, by the way, but there was a time. They realized that they had not only been under, some education now, but they realized that he had been with Jesus. The boldness, everything about their speech spoke of the Lord Jesus. And seeing the man who had just been healed standing with them, they couldn't say anything. The evidence was right before them. The evidence of somebody who was born this way, he didn't somehow catch a disease, he was born this way, and he was begging every day at the beautiful gate, was right there. And they can say nothing against it. What would they could say? Well, it isn't a real healing. No, couldn't say that. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of council, and they conferred amongst themselves, that's kind of a dangerous thing to do. I don't want to ever confer amongst my friends only. I want to confer with the Holy Ghost. Is that right? And they said, what shall we do with these people, these men, Peter and John? Never mind that the guy that was healed. For indeed, a notable miracle has been done through them and is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. We can't deny it. So everybody in Jerusalem, the entire population, they didn't have to have a newspaper, they didn't have to have the internet. Everybody knew what was going on. But so that it spreads no further among the people, it spread. What is the kingdom of God like? It's like leaven. Once it's put in the loaf, it infects the whole loaf, like yeast that you put in a loaf of bread. Let's do something so it can spread no further. Let's severely threaten them. That'll do it. Now, almost never in history when you severely threaten anybody does it make any difference. In fact, usually the opposite. But from now on, they speak no man in this name. They wouldn't even say it in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, still filled with the Spirit. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you be the judge. What? For we cannot speak the things which we have seen, cannot help but speak what we have seen and heard. So they have further threatened them, said, well, just don't speak in the name of Jesus. Probably mumbled it. Just don't speak in the name of Jesus. They let him go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, since they all glorify God, what had been done. For this man was over 40 years. So he hadn't just been a teenager. He was over 40 years old whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Well, I would like to see a miracle like that. I know we can see a miracle like that. And there will be a day when we see a miracle like that. Oh, that's weak amens. Amen. Okay. Being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. So when they heard it, they said, oh, we're in trouble. No, they raised their voice to God and with one accord said, Lord, you are God. You made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Who by the mouth of your servant David said this, why do the nations rage? Why do the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. So they weren't discouraged at all. They were encouraged by the onslaught and the false things that were going before Peter and John. They were encouraged by it. So the church stood up, so flexing their muscles, said, come on, go for it. Verse 27. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Yeah, well, that's good. I like that so far. You anointed what? Jesus. No, you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of others were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Predestination, pure and simple. For you truly, against your holy servant, Jesus. Now, Lord, look at their hearts and their threats and grant to your servants that we, with all boldness, they may speak your word, the church, by stretching out your hand to heal. Let's do that. That the signs and the wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Amen. I have to confess to you, when I was first saved, I said, because it was kind of a lot of Pentecostalism going on there, there was like, what is this Jesus name stuff? I didn't realize that there was actually power in the name of Jesus. But what if it was a different language? Because, you know, being educated, I knew too much. Thankfully, the Lord didn't take that against me. And I began to pray in Jesus' name. And I was baptized in Jesus' name. And I received the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Although nobody laid hands on me to receive the Holy Spirit, when I began to speak in tongues, I knew it was Jesus. Before I was baptized in the Spirit, I had faith that Jesus Christ was Lord. But after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I knew that Jesus Christ was Lord. There's a difference. I didn't have to have faith for it anymore. It was just resident within me, something I could not divorce. And when they had prayed, the place, this is the seal, the place that where they were assembled together was shaken. I don't know what magnitude of earthquake it was, but it was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, more important. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. How did they know that they had been with Jesus? Because they spoke the word of God with boldness. No longer afraid. We sing that song. We're no longer a slave to fear. And many of us still are. And that's why if you're motivated to go to the doctor, fine. But if you're motivated by fear to go to the doctor, you need to repent. That's not why you go to the doctor. You go to the doctor because the Lord told you to go there. And he may even use that doctor to help you or not. Most of the times I hear people go to the doctor and it didn't do all that much good for them. Although sometimes they do. You know, doctoring used to be a science. Now it's workbook. Because the workbook was printed, published by Medicare and committees that influence Medicare. I'm not making this up. This is true. And Medicare guidelines are what demand your doctor to do or not do things to you when you're under his care or her care. And so even though they may say, this doesn't make any sense, I'm not going to do it, or I am going to do it, if it's not in the Medicare guideline, chances are very good they'll go by the Medicare guideline, because there's another factor involved. That's law, lawyers, and money that can change hands. Minimum, you know, lawsuits in medicine are about $3 million. So they don't want to do it. Not so much that they might lose a lawsuit, but their lawyers will walk away from them. And then they can't get insurance. You know how much insurance costs for a doctor? Somewhere in between $300,000 a year and $700,000 a year. Depending on the surgeons more. In fact, when you go to an orthopedic surgeon for back surgery, the first thing in their mind is not whether they can treat you or not, it's whether you're going to sue them or not. They look in your little eyes and say, do they like me or are they going to sue me? Because even if this lawsuit is covered by the insurance, it's not fun to go through. So medicine has changed. Just in 15 years that I know, it's changed a great deal. It's going to change back, do you think? No, we need more born-again physicians. We need more born-again lawyers that go to Congress. We need more born-again kings and princes. Who cares? We just need a lot of people that need to be born again, filled with the spirit and the boldness of power in the Lord. They can say, you know, this is crazy. I'm not doing it. If it's not right, you shouldn't be doing it. The whole place was shaken, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And now I'm just going to finish up, because I think that you can see now that we have a ways to go before we can go back to the power that's talked about in these scriptures, in this text. Now, we have been in some pretty powerful meetings, but there's more for us. Is that right? There's more for us. God wants more for us. He says, greater things than I do will you do in my name. Verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believe with one heart and one soul. So that's why we come together, so we can be of one heart and one soul. One mind. Neither did anyone say any of the things he possessed, that any of the things he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. So even though we have in our U.S. economy things which belong to us, in the Lord, they don't belong to us at all. They belong to the Lord. Is that right? And with great power, not meager power, or barely getting along, sputtering, with great power, the apostles gave witness. How do you give witness? By sharing what you have seen. Witness to the resurrection, that the apostles, so they had a resurrection faith of the Lord, Jesus. They gave witness of it. Now, we don't have that kind of witness, do we? Jesus says we have a greater witness because we didn't see him float off into the clouds. We believe because of the word that they said. Our faith is greater. They didn't have to have faith because they saw it with their own eyes. Lastly, great grace was upon them all. Well, Father, we ask you, Lord God, for that great grace to be poured out in our midst today. The boldness of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When he spoke with boldness. Even when he was before the Sanhedrin, even when he was before Pilate, he still spoke with boldness, knowing he would be crucified. He still knew who he was and what he was going to do. And he suffered those things, not just for the cross, but for the redemption of sin, but he suffered all of that because he saw what was happening here today, this morning, in our midst. He said, I want to die for these people. That they would know grace, great grace. That they would know the peace of God that passes all understanding. That they would know the power of the Holy Spirit. And when they pray for somebody to be healed, they're going to be healed. In Jesus' name, amen.